And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. I hope you're enjoying this day. You know, I have to tell you from time to time how the weather is doing because, you know, sometimes it's a little dicey. But today, I think low to mid-60s, sunny here. So I hope you're enjoying the weather and have a chance to get outside and refresh yourself and invigorate yourself. You know, do one of those Superman deals. Get out in the sun and let the sun just rejuvenate you, you know. I'm talking about that big yellow ball that shines in the sky. You don't have to go outside or go anywhere for the Son of God to rejuvenate you. He'll rejuvenate you anytime, anywhere. It doesn't matter whether the weather is cloudy and gray or bright sunshine or stormy. He's always there for us. In fact, look, if you didn't have a chance to watch the live stream of my worship service on Sunday, go check it out. And I think it starts before the message with us sending children off to Children's Church. And I think it ends after a period of confession and profession of faith in Jesus Christ for the audience. So you may want to fast forward a little bit to get to the meat of the message. But I talked about praise, triumphing in praise, in light of the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. And I'll tell you something, folks, it gave me a new revelation of the power of praise. It really did. Studying and preparing that message really blessed me. Now, of course, I praise God since I've been a Christian. But it's just that I saw something that I hadn't really seen before, which is the power of praise, not only transform and change you, but the power of praise to affect circumstances around you, because in part it changes your perception of those circumstances. But the other part of it is the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. He is enthroned in the praises of his people. And when you praise God, he moves in your life. In fact, you know, the Lord shared with me during that message, in the preparation of the message, that if my people praised more, they'd have to petition less. I thought, wow, that's powerful. If my people praised more, they would have to petition less. Because, you know, when God shows up, he brings all his stuff, you know. And God has got a lot of good stuff, folks. So when he shows up loaded. Praise God. In fact, you know, I'll just share briefly. I talked about the fact that when I got converted, when I was saved back in December of 1976, you know, I got to reading about David, and David really impressed me because he's a masculine guy, a strong guy, but yet he loved God and was not afraid to show it. And part of what I began to do, now I'm unsaved, right? But something's going on the inside. My heart is now seeking after God. I've come under a kind of conviction. And I began to say, well, if David praised God and God said he was a man after his own heart, then maybe that'll work for me too. And because I'm trying to, I want God to show up. I want God to show me that you're real. All I know is the God who is a word that people use. And I see people going back and forth to church, but I've seen no indication, no manifestation of the reality of God up to that point in my life. I had once when I was a child, but I didn't remember that at the time. And I began to just recite the Psalms back to God. I'd forgotten about that. I don't think I'd ever shared that until Sunday. But I began to recite the Psalms back to God. And it's why I memorize a lot of Psalms, because I started before I was a Christian, I started reading those Psalms. You know, David was a man of praise. And I really believe that that's what God loves so much about him. That's when God said he's a man after my own heart. David praised the Lord. That means that David, in spite of his success as a king, was a man of humility, and he was a man who loved God. He praised God as an expression of that love. You know, what is it, Psalm 34? I will bless the Lord at all times. and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. You know, David's talking about himself. Here he is, one of the richest men in the world at that time. He's a king. But David says, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all of his troubles. He said, they looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Look, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Well, see, before I was saved, I was getting into that because I'm thinking, well, that's what worked for David. Maybe it'll work for me. And I tell you, folks, on December 22nd, 1976, God blew the garage doors off. I mean, it was like God stepped in and said, you looking for me? Here I am. You know, it's like, I didn't want to have one of those little soft, yes, I think I'll finally receive Jesus. It wasn't like that for me. And I'm not knocking that. Don't get me wrong. Because people who grow up in the church or never stray very far, you know, their conversions can be more subtle. They can be less dramatic. Mine was dramatic. Believe me. So dramatic that my wife thought I'd lost it. And I had lost it. I'd found it. But I had forgotten the role that praise played in my conversion and in my encountering God. So I just say, look, whatever's going on in your life right now, well, certainly what's going on in the country right now, let's just praise God anyhow. You know, hallelujah, glory to God. Because look, folks, we know we win, right? We know we win. We win in every way. So we've got plenty of reasons to praise God all the time. As David said, I'll bless the Lord at all times. That means in good times, bad times, daytime, nighttime, you know, feast or famine, sickness and health. I'm going to praise God no matter what. And I really believe that, you know, when he inhabits the praises of his people, when God is enthroned in the praises of his people, it means he brings all his majestic authority with him to do you good. So be encouraged. Everything. You know, there's an old song, this old spiritual say, I've got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Be all right, be all right, be all right. My Bible tells me, and it's true, that everything's going to be all right. So folks, everything's going to be all right. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't occupy until he comes. That doesn't mean we're not on the battlefield. I use Jehoshaphat as an example, and you all know that Jehoshaphat stepped up to battle the people of Mount Seir and the Ammonites and the Moabites, a triple army coming against him. And he didn't know what to do, but Jehaziel prophesied, and Jehoshaphat finally got the praises going. And the Bible says when the people began to sing and praise the Lord ambushed them. And those three armies started fighting one another. And the children of Israel didn't even have to lift a finger. But they did have to take to the battlefield. Yes, they did have to take a stand. And that's what we Christians have to remember. We have to take a stand. We have to take to the field. You know, the battle's not ours ultimately, but the Lord's. But we do have to put on the whole armor of God and step on the field and say, I'm ready to do battle. Praise God. Well, look, we're off to a great spiritual start here this Monday, and I'll be back with some news that you'll need to praise God through. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Members of the very popular South Korean boy band were denied draft exemptions, even though it would reduce revenue to the country. Why? Because there aren't enough boys available to serve in the military. Lyman Stone uses this illustration to highlight the extremely low birth rate in South Korea. But that country is just one of many examples of what has become a global birth dearth. Fertility rates have been declining in all the developed countries of the world. The U.S. figures are better than in many countries in Europe and Asia, but still illustrate the decline. Fertility rates in this country declined from 2.1 children per woman in 2006 to 1.7 today. The figure might even drop lower if we hit another recession. Although legalized abortion, contraception, and down economy are often cited for the reasons for lower fertility, those factors only explain part of the decline. The U.S. first reached birth rates around 2 children per woman during the Roaring Twenties, not during the Great Depression and long before contraceptive access was readily available. Modern economies depend on various transfers of wealth across generations. The obvious examples are Social Security and other so-called entitlement programs. An older generation also expects the younger generation to buy their houses and other assets. But that's not happening. Even the trade deficit is due in part to the fact that there are more assets than there are buyers to purchase them. The solution, it seems, is not to pass government policies that try to make people want to have children. The best that can be done would be to eliminate government policies that currently penalize couples with children. At the least, government should reduce the financial barriers for parents who want to bring kids into the world. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Racism, go to viewpoints.info/racism. That's viewpoints.info/racism.
It's time for God's people to stand on His Word when it comes to marriage and family. We can't give up ground. AFA presents the 2021 Marriage Family Life Conference, June 24th through the 26th, designed to prepare believers to defend biblical truth with Dr. Michael Brown.
Men versus women. You have separate golf tournaments. Why? So women can compete against women and men against men. To be fair. It is that simple.
Laura Petherbridge.
All step families are birthed out of loss, either death or divorce. We've got people coming in that are grieving.
And Abraham Hamilton III.
As we endeavor to be faithful on the outside of our homes, we cannot allow them to cause us to neglect our family. And serving our family begins with our spouses, and it obviously includes our children.
The 2021 Marriage Family Life Conference, June 24th through the 26th at Hope Church in Tupelo. Family is part of the name, so a special youth apologetics track is included. Find out more and register at marriagefamilylife.net.
Brian Fisher here. How committed is Biden to not letting us see what's going on at the border? Biden put Kamala Harris in charge of solving the border crisis. How's she doing? It's not the American right, but the American left who resemble the Nazis in their rise to power. Amazon goes to war with Bernie, and a rapper releases Nike Satan shoes with human blood in them. Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And you just heard that wonderful spot on our Marriage Family Life Conference, MFL 21, June 24th through the 26th. That's coming up in, a couple months. But folks, register now, because there's an early bird discount for anybody who registers before April 1st, which is coming up Today is the 29th. Oh, my goodness. So you've only got 3 days, right? Today's 29th, 30, 31. Yeah, you've only got 3 days. Take advantage of it. Get that early bird discount. It's going to be at Hope Church in Tupelo, Mississippi. It's going to be two conferences in one, because of the youth apologetics track that we're going to have as well. That's really exciting, because we've got to raise up a generation of young people who understand the value of family and can build strong families themselves. This is going to minister to adults and young people. And, of course, it's going to equip believers in a world in which the family is under vicious attack to really have an answer from the Word of God. So don't miss this. This is going to be absolutely great. Lunch and snacks are going to be provided. You can register at marriagefamilylife.net. That's marriagefamilylife.net. One other quick thing I want to mention. Tomorrow, Tuesday at 12 noon Eastern time, I have a regular weekly call every Tuesday, 12 noon Eastern time, called the National Awakening Coalition Conference Call. And tomorrow, my guest is going to be Eric Pratt, who is the president of Gun Owners of America. And, of course, we're going to be talking about this administration's plans for restricting, if not eliminating, our Second Amendment rights. And you may be very interested to hear what Eric Pratt has to say and what we can do. We as believers in God and believers in our Constitution, which means we're believers that God gives us fundamental rights, not government. One of those fundamental rights is the right to defend our families, our lives, ourselves. And government simply doesn't have a right to interfere with that. That's why the Founding Fathers put the Second Amendment into the Constitution. I'm convinced of that. It was not to assure an army because they were afraid of standing armies. It was to assure that the people would always be in a position to defend themselves. So that's going to be tomorrow, 12 noon. Go to our website, standamerica.us, standamerica.us, and you'll get the call-in information for calling. And you'll have an opportunity to actually, it's not a radio program, but you'll have an opportunity to actually talk to Eric Pratt because you can get in queue to ask a question, and he will be happy to answer any questions that you might have. This is a critical issue, folks. It really is a critical issue. And I know some people may think it's strange that Christians would be concerned about the Second Amendment, but I think Christians have to be concerned about our liberty. And when you start eroding liberty, I don't think there's any stop to it. Yeah, it's not just one thing. It becomes everything. And before you know it, you're no longer a free individual able to make your own decisions under the guidance of Almighty God. You are now a slave of the state, and the state is directing and guiding and controlling your every move. And that is ultimately what this is all about, that we want God to lead us, guide us, command us, not government. God, not government. All right. Well, look, my goodness gracious, there's a lot to talk about today. And if we can't get it all in and get every thought that you might have about it today because there's just too much. But we're going to get started. And, of course, we're going to be right back at it tomorrow. Now, this morning, I think it was this morning, somebody sent me an email alerting me to that the mayor of Charlottesville, Virginia, you all know Charlottesville, some of you are in Virginia, so obviously you know Charlottesville, but some of you who are not, know Charlottesville is a place where there was that big confrontation and President Trump made a comment which was perfectly appropriate, was there's good people on both sides because it wasn't just the fanatical white supremacists and the far leftist Antifa, it was and Black Lives Matter people, it was people concerned about history and preserving it, as well as people who probably sincerely felt like this is not helpful, it's not unifying. And those are people who were not engaging in violence against anybody. They were there to peacefully express their viewpoint. But in the middle of that were some really bad actors. And Antifa and Black Lives Matter were among those. White supremacists were among those. Of course, the mainstream media will tell you, white supremacists are the bad people. Antifa and Black Lives Matter, they're good. No, they're not. They're not. And so President Trump said, you know, there are good people on both sides, referring to neither of those two groups, but to other citizens who had gathered there. And he was absolutely right. It was not a racist comment. It was not an endorsement of white supremacists, because I said essentially the same thing. And I'm from Virginia, and I've been to Charlottesville many, many times, and know many great people in Charlottesville. And what he said was absolutely true. But of course, they're going to give it the worst spin they could. He was endorsing white supremacists. He was not. Well, the mayor of Charlottesville, let me say it again. This is the mayor, okay? The mayor of Charlottesville has come out with a statement. Basically, well, you know what? Let me just share some of it with you. And you know, folks, sometimes I think, do I talk too much about these issues? But you can't not talk about them. You have to talk about them because we've got to answer this despicable narrative against our country. And if you don't hear it, you can't respond to it. Now, this is the mayor. She is a Black woman, okay? Her name is Mayor Nikuya Walker, a black woman. Well, she got a post taken down off Facebook and then put back up. And the post simply said, Charlottesville, quote, Charlottesville, the beautiful, ugly it is. It rapes you, comforts you in its blank stained sheet and tells you to keep its secrets. Well, they took that post down, then they put it back up. Well, then she posted a longer version, which they have left up. And here's what she said in the longer version. Charlottesville, the beautiful, ugly it is. It lynched you, hung the noose at City Hall, and pressed the souvenir that was once your finger against its lips. It covers your death with its good intentions. It is a place where white women with black kids collect signatures for a white man who questions whether a black woman understands white supremacy. It is destructively world class. White people say it is the place where gentrification started with the election of a black woman in 2017, and because of white power, a lie becomes hashtag facts. Some of this I don't even understand. Its daily practice is that of separating you from your soul. Charlottesville is void of a moral compass. It's as if good old Thomas Jefferson is still cleverly using his whip to whip the current inhabitants into submissiveness. Charlottesville rapes you of your breaths. It suffocates your hopes and dreams. It liberates you by conveniently redefining liberation. It progressively chants while it conservatively acts. Charlottesville is anchored in white supremacy and rooted in racism. Charlottesville rapes you and covers you in sullied sheets. Now, folks, let me repeat this. That's the mayor of Charlottesville. That's the mayor. So, of course, the first question would be, well, why are you mayor? I mean, why would you want to preside over the carnage that you describe? Well, obviously, this woman really does need treatment. And folks, I'm not trying to be funny when I say I'm serious. She really needs treatment. She needs help. Look, I've never lived in Charlottesville. I have friends who live there now. In fact, the leading candidate for governor, Pete Snyder, now lives in Charlottesville. He used to live in Northern Virginia. He now lives in Charlottesville. Some of my dearest friends, and I mean this, some of my dearest friends live in Charlottesville. The Charlottesville she describes is not the Charlottesville I've ever visited, and I've spent time there. I haven't just passed through. I've spent time there. I mean, it's just, that's preposterous. But she's the mayor. And you have to say, well, wait a minute. How did you become mayor then? Because from what you describe, it sounds like you must have participated in this untoward behavior that you're describing in order to get that position. If it's that racist, if it's that exploitive. So you know what I've done? I haven't sent it out yet. I'm planning to. I'm going to send out a press release challenging this woman to a debate. Because this kind of garbage needs to be exposed for the racial demagoguery that it is. And the fact that a person who purports to be the mayor of a city would say such things to the population, to me, it just indicates how deep the depravity is of this wokeness. Instead of saying, we have a wonderful, we have a beautiful city. We're not all united on everything. Let's find ways to come together. Let's celebrate what we've got. Let's thank God for what we've got. I guarantee you won't hear that coming out of her mouth either. And let's work together to make our city better. Why not try to inspire people? Why not try to encourage people? Why not try to uplift people? Why not try to unify people? Oh, no, none of that, none of that. Folks, this stuff is demonic. And you know, it really does. It borders on the psychotic. Thomas Jefferson, as if he's standing with his whip, whipping you into... What? A couple more comments when I come back, and I want to start taking your calls. This stuff, folks, that's why I say you've got to learn to praise the Lord. Because these people would drive you nuts if you didn't keep your eyes on Jesus. 888-589-8840 is the number. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Isn't it strange how the Father uses different media to speak to us? His most perfect revelation, of course, was His Son. And He speaks to us still through His written word. But this is not the only method He uses. He uses other means, such as a good book, a sermon, or a friend. He even uses the funny papers occasionally. He spoke to me recently through Peanuts. In that Peanuts column, Lucy was shown at her wayside stand with a sign reading, "Psychiatric help, 5 cents, the doctor is in." Well, old Charlie Brown comes along and says, "I'm in sad shape. What can you do when you don't fit in? What can you do when life seems to be passing you by?" To this, Lucy replies, "Follow me. I want to show you something. See the horizon over there? See how big it is? See how much room there is for everybody? Have you ever seen another world?" "No," says Charlie Brown. "As far as you know, this is the only world there is, right?" "Right," replies Charlie Brown. Lucy shouts, "Well, live in it then." Whereupon Charlie Brown does one of his famous somersaults. Many of us are like Charlie Brown. We think we're in sad shape. We mope along with our fears and worries. We go in for self-pity. We look here and there for help without finding it. We think the world has given us a raw deal. We go around hunting only for the bad. We're in bad shape ourselves. We get to thinking that the faith of the Nazarene is dull and ordinary to many who bear His name or down at the mouth. Then along comes the divine psychiatrist. He takes us by the hand and shows us the wide and wonderful world in which we live, this mystery and wonder of life, this sparkling bit of time and space that is all ours for a brief moment of history. He tells us that we are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. He tells us there is a Father who knows us better than we know ourselves, a Maker that is closer than the air we breathe. He says that our Father loves us beyond our comprehension, even more than an earthly father loves his son. But He does more than this. He shames us for our timidity and our crankedness. He dissolves our guilt and restores our faith in God and ourselves. He Himself is our key to abundant living. He shouts to us across the centuries to live in our world as though we were citizens of the eternities. It is He and He alone who puts meaning into our existence and purpose into our lives. He gives the ring of divine ordination to the most trivial of all occupations. Through His speaking, we hear Him saying that He came that we could find life, abundant life. Great is the number seeking for that abundant life. It's a pity that they think it can be found in rings and things. If we're in sad shape, we might not need to turn Charlie Brown's somersault, but we might need to take another look at our world and our God and ourself. Who knows? We might just want to turn that somersault with old Charlie Brown after taking that look.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Now, let me add this. Oxford University, along the same theme, this madness that is gripping our nation, Oxford University is now looking at, are you ready for this? Hold on to your seat. Is now looking at doing away with classical music and sheet music because it is deemed to have roots in colonialism and complicity in white supremacy. Oxford University, often considered to be the premier university in the world, one of the earliest universities, certainly in European history, perhaps in history, let's put it this way, a university for liberal arts education that teaches a number of different disciplines. They are responding to Black Lives Matter protesters. And they're determining that, listen to this one, folks. You'll love this. Teaching piano or conducting orchestras could cause students of color great distress, as the skills involved are closely tied to white European music. Do you all see what I mean when I say, not jokingly, that this stuff really borders on the psychotic? I mean, it really does. What does learning music and notes have to do with causing stress to students of color? And what does that phrase even mean anyway, as I've pointed out many times before? So Beethoven, Mozart, Schubert, that's white European music from the slave period. What? Oh, my goodness. Folks, this stuff is just, it really is. This wokeness is comatose. It's a denial of the reality of life. But you can feel better now, because they will replace these brilliant musicians and writers and composers with non-Eurocentric musical traditions like hip hop and jazz, and music from the African and African diasporic musics and global musics. Oh, yeah. Look, I have nothing against any music from anywhere. I think all music has beauty to it. It may not match my particular taste in all cases, but it has beauty to it. But this idea that somehow to listen to the classical musicians and composers and artists is somehow to buy into white supremacy is lunacy. It's just lunacy. It's just like this mayor of Charlottesville. I mean, look, and here again, I'm not saying this to be gratuitous or nasty, but the woman is a lunatic. What is she doing leading a city? Let alone a city in my Commonwealth of Virginia. You know, I mean, my goodness gracious. I could see if she was somewhere in Vermont, you know, or California, but in my beloved Virginia, the home of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson. Yes, let me say it again. Thomas Jefferson, I respect and honor as a great man. Yeah, just, you know, let me. I guarantee you, she will not take me up on my challenge to engage in a debate over the nature of America. And I'll even though I'm not a native of Charlottesville, I'll happily debate the nature of Charlottesville, past, present, and future. All right, let's go to the lines. Let's see. We've got Joshua in Georgia. Joshua, welcome.
And I am Joshua. Sorry, Bishop, you had to do that.
Okay, uh-huh. Great. That sounds just like me. Go right ahead.
Bishop, I have two quickies. My first one is John 5, where it says that Jesus came from both the water and the blood. Now, I think the water meant his physical birth. The blood meant his atonement, and the spirit was the Holy Spirit. Am I right on that one? And second, what's the good news? Instead of all this nutty Monday nonsense, I mean, I'm glad you brought it up, but I mean, what's some good news that you were saying you wanted to report? Thank you, and have a blessed week.
Amen. Joshua, thank you. Thank you. Yes. Jesus said, unless a man is born of water, and I believe he was referring there not to ritual baptism. He was referring to the breaking of the water of a woman's womb when a child is born of the water and of the Spirit. He cannot see the kingdom of God. And of course, the Spirit of God infills those who are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ when they accept him as their Lord and Savior. So I think you're right on target there. I am not looking at those particular scriptures in detail at the moment, so I could always do that, but I'll have to do that at another time to make sure I'm on target with what you're getting at. Look, you know, the good news is spiritual news. The Bible says we do not lose heart because we look not on the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal or temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. You know, my message yesterday, I talked about the fact that you can't wait until you feel like it to praise God. You've got to praise God when you don't feel like it. And what are you praising God for? Because you're walking by faith and not by sight. You're seeing beyond the circumstance that you're in. You're seeing the goodness of God and the blessing of God and the grace of God and the love of God and the forgiveness of God and the patience and just the wonder of who He is. And when you begin to look on that, guess what? You get an entirely different outlook on life. It really does. I say, if you have to put your fingers in your mouth and stretch it into a smile and start praising God, do it. Because I tell you what, that will take over and eventually you'll see things in a whole new light. You'll see them from God's perspective. And I've got news for you folks. God is not sitting on the throne moaning about how bad things are and wondering, what in the world are we going to do about it? God has got everything in hand in spite of man's rebellion. So thank you so much for the call. Let's go to George in Missouri. George, welcome.
Hey, how you doing, Bishop?
Doing great, George. How about you?
I'm doing okay. I'm waiting for a nurse to come to take care of my wife that's got dementia.
Sorry to hear that, George. We'll pray for you, though.
She's had it for 20 years, but it gets progressively worse. But it's just like everybody that's out there, everybody's got problems, just like that mayor. It's like, hey, how much money do you make as a mayor? Yeah, you make a lot of good money. So what are you griping about? You know? You're griping about that. You got a good life. You live in America. Be thankful, you know?
Amen.
I have to wake up every morning and wonder if my wife is still alive, you know? I mean, walk through that little scenario, and I'm sure I'm not the only one that walks through that scenario every day. And I'm thankful, you know, that, and TV, oh my God, you can't watch anything on TV. It seems like you can't even watch
changed.
The commercials. It gets so stupid.
It has changed, George. Well, George, you have certainly given us perspective, because here you are going through what you're going through with your wife, and you've been dealing with that for 20 years. And you're right. Here is some spoiled brat of a woman who happens to be mayor of a major Virginia city, and she's moaning and groaning about metaphorical rape and lynching and all of this stuff. And she's going through none of that, absolutely none of that, because she's in charge of the city. So you're right. Come on, get a little perspective. George, you have reminded us, all of us have plenty to be thankful for. Your wife is still with you. You're taking care of her. You've got the health and strength to do that. And you live in a country where some help is provided as well. And I know that that can't be an easy circumstance. But and forgive me if this sounds somewhat cliche. But let's face it, folks, things can always be worse, can't they? And but for the grace of God, they would be. Back in a moment.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Here's another of our core values. AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government. Thank you for standing with AFA, and we thank you for your support.
The following are real-life stories from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt.
I used my credit cards as a source of income.
It was not a good situation.
I couldn't pay my bills.
The interest on the cards was really high.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
I initially was scared to call, and immediately I felt relieved.
They contacted all of our creditors, and they put us on a plan for success.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
I've been able to pay off close to $15,000.
We're doing a lot better.
Please pick up the phone and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
It's a godsend.
We're debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
We would be in the middle of a fight, and I would just be quiet. And so she's sitting on the bed, I'm sitting on the couch, and she looks at me. And normally, she would say, we got to talk about this, we got to talk.
This is Focus on the Family Minute, and Dr. Marcus Warner recalls a conflict with his wife.
And this time, she looked at me, and she said, is it okay if I come and sit next to you? And I just shrugged my shoulders, because I was not talking. And she sat next to me, and then she looked at me, and she said, is it okay if I hold your hand? And I looked at her, I said, you're really not good at this fighting this stuff, are you? And I said, okay, you can hold my hand. And as soon as she did, it was like I could just feel this whoosh inside of, okay, all of a sudden this on-off switch popped back on. My relational circuits came back on. And all of a sudden I realized I like this person. I want to have a kind conversation with this person. And we could talk about our problem now relationally.
Hear more from Dr. Warner at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
The number is 888-589-8840. This is The Awakening. And yes, folks, please check out our podcast. Our podcasts are very important to us. Make sure you go to our website, afr.net, and check those podcasts out. I think you'll find them extremely encouraging and helpful. And the thing is, you can share them with people who can't listen to the program live. And it helps us to know how much we're engaging with our listeners. So please make it a point to do that. Do it daily if you can, but at least once a week. The number is 888-589-8840. Let's come back to the calls to Jane in Virginia. Well, hello, Jane, my fellow Virginian.
Hi. I have lived here all my life, and I want to let you know how wonderful you are, and what you're telling people is so essential. The other thing I wanted to add is that after what the mayor of Charlottesville said, I had always thought that Charlottesville was very liberal. I grew up in Richmond, and so I really wasn't sure. I guess there must be some conservatives there if she made the statements that she did. But anyway, thank you for what you said.
Thank you, Jane.
It means a lot because this is a wonderful state, and this is a wonderful country, and I appreciate people like you so much.
Well, thank you. Jane, what part of Virginia do you live in, if you don't mind my asking?
Well, actually, I was born in Henrico County.
Ah, okay.
And I live right outside of Richmond, but I presently live halfway between Charlottesville and Richmond.
Ah, so you're not far from Thomas Jefferson City. So Jane,
no,
okay.
I'm not.
Well, listen, if the mayor takes me up on the debate, I'll make sure that you get an invitation, okay?
Oh, please send me an invitation.
Right. All right, Jane, thank you so much for the call. All right, God bless you. Okay, let's go to Howard in Pennsylvania, my home state. Howard, welcome.
Thank you.
That's where I was born. I was born in Pennsylvania. Thank you for calling.
Mike, I have a question for you. All we ever hear about COVID is how many deaths there are.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a comparison available that compares the total deaths in 2019 to 2020? To see if there really was a difference that the COVID made.
You know, Howard, that is an important question. And you know what I found? Every time you attempt, at least I have, now I've got a wonderful researcher now who's going to help me with this, I'm sure. But every time I've tried to check on it, here's what they tend to do. What the Science Today does and Reuters and mainstream media, the suggestion that there are fewer deaths or that the deaths are the same is wrong. But they never tell you what the numbers are. They never tell you what the numbers are. They just tell you that the assumption that there are fewer deaths in 2020 than in 2019 is wrong. So, you know, it depends on who you talk to and what you're, where you're getting your information. But I'm going to see if there is anything in the latest information. I read one article on this not too long ago, and it went into all these shenanigans about, well, it depends on what category you're measuring, and you can't draw conclusions based on a snapshot. No, just a whole lot of nothing, which makes me think that something's being hidden from us. So I can't say that that's the absolute truth, but I'm suspicious. So, Howard, I'm going to see if we can't get an absolute answer for you. And by the way, folks, I don't care which way it cuts. I just care that the answer is honest. And, you know, when you're counting motorcycle accidents and heart attacks and cancer deaths and other things as COVID deaths, even if you get the number, you don't really know that the number is accurate. So, but we'll get the best answer we can for you, Howard. Thank you so much for the call. The number is 888-589-8840. Let's go to Geneva in Arkansas. Geneva, thank you for your patience. How are you today?
Yes, that's all right, Brother Jackson. You are my brother. I want to tell you something. You know these little lawn sprinklers that's got looks like a bunch of little old hoses sticking out of them.
Right.
And you turn that, you know, Satan is turning that faucet on, and them poor people and that their government don't know which way they're going. And I hope that a lot of these here prayer warriors will join me and pray that God will let them be. Become so miserable, they'll have to find Jesus to get right.
Amen. Oh, wow. Geneva, that's one of those imprecatory prayers, and I agree with that prayer. Boy. Because I would rather them get mad now and get saved later than be satisfied now and go to hell, right?
Yep, absolutely. And if you go to a debate with that woman, if I have to take out a loan, I'm coming to see you tear her up.
All right, Geneva. All right. Well, listen, Geneva, that is a date. If that ever comes to pass, that is a date. Thank you so much for the call, Geneva. Appreciate it. God bless you. And look, folks, when people reject, which our government has by and large, and a lot of government workers have, I mean, that's why Virginia is so messed up now. We've got a bunch of people who work for the federal government who moved into Northern Virginia. They swelled the population of Northern Virginia. They made the three counties of Northern Virginia, Loudoun, Fairfax, Prince William, the three of the, I think, the top five wealthiest counties in America. And if I'm not mistaken, Loudoun is the wealthiest county in the United States of America. You go there and you see Lamborghini dealerships and Rolls Royce dealerships, and they're making money primarily off the American taxpayer. And it's ruined the Commonwealth of Virginia. So you're right. This, when government rejects God, when people who think that the state is superior to God and that the state is the final authority in all things, this is what you get. So let's come back to your calls. Let's see. Who we got here? Okay, we got Bob in Kentucky. Bob, welcome. Bob, you are on. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi, Bob.
Oh, hi. I didn't know you had me on. Okay. I'm a classically trained musician. I taught music in the public schools of Kentucky for nearly 40 years. Also, I have served as a church musician for many, many years. And I just want to make a comment about the fact that there is nothing racist about classical music. As a matter of fact, the United States has produced some very fine black composers in the European tradition. if people do mm-hmm. not get the benefit of that classical music, they're missing out on some of the most beautiful music there is. And so yep, I just wanted to get my 2 cents worth in on that.
Well, Bob, I couldn't agree with you more, and thank you for the call. Look, we are human beings. Music is very much a part of our lives, and you can find beauty in all of it, although, again, certain styles may appeal to certain people. I've been recalling some of the old-time hymns lately because, you know, the modern praise music sort of has left the old-time hymns behind, but I've been recalling some of those and how beautiful they are. And some of them are very classical. A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, for example, is one of those classical hymns. I sang that in the chancel choir of Ebenezer Baptist Church. And by the way, don't tell me that classical music is racist, because I used to love the Lone Ranger, and the Lone Ranger came on to William Tell's overture. Dun-dun-dun. So, I tell you, I know the political correctness of today would make the Lone Ranger and Tonto anachronistic, if you will, but I loved it, and I still watch it. By the way, I watch Father Knows Best. I mean, some of those old classics, they were just decent. They were teaching great values. And now political correctness has subsumed everything. It's just gotten to be ridiculous. Okay, let's try to get some more calls in here before I have to go. Let's go to Brian in Illinois. Brian, welcome.
Hey, hello, Bishop.
Hello, Brian.
How you doing?
I'm blessed, Brian. How are you today?
Well, I am blessed, too, because I woke up this morning and saw sunlight.
Amen. Amen. Brian, I'm getting close to the 0 hour.
Yeah,
so what's on your mind today?
Okay. I am the founder of a veteran service nonprofit trying to put a dent in this veteran suicide number.
Yes, yes.
And I want to know why the VA is like taking their sweet time putting out the next numbers. They're telling us it's COVID.
Brian, do me a favor, email me at EWJ. In fact, I'll tell you what, email me at EWJackson@EWJackson.com. That's easy to remember, EWJackson@EWJackson.com. Tell me what you're doing, Brian. We want to support that work because it's important that we take care of our veterans. Thank you so much for the call, Brian. Let's go to Sherry in Illinois. Sherry, welcome.
Hey, Bishop, thanks for taking my call. So my church, we sang Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, Look Full in His Wonderful Face. And then we haven't sang it for a long time, but, you know, those old hymns just soothe my soul.
Amen.
My question has to do with trusting sources for COVID information. And can you, so I am currently, I was diagnosed Friday with COVID. I'm recovering from it, thank God. I'm inclined to not get the vaccine because if COVID isn't going to kill me, which it hasn't yet.
And
why would I get the vaccine? I think not. Probably not. I'm not concerned that it will. But what do you, for what to believe, you know, is my concern.
Sherry, you know what? I've got to go. In terms of what to believe, Sherry, I'll tell you what. Obviously, keep listening to AFR because we're going to always try to provide the very best information we can. I brought on a researcher to help me try to really dig. My producer helps me, and we've got wonderful people here for that. But, you know, search things out yourself and be prayerful and see what makes the most sense to you. Because, Sherry, it's not easy today because I think so much is politicized that you don't know whether you're getting accurate information or not. Folks, that's going to do it for today. Enjoyed every moment of it. Hope you did too. Keep praying for us. And remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.